Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and www.livedeliverance.com. We want to thank all of our listening audience that's on. I'm having technical difficulties. If you are on Blog Talk, you can hear me clear. I'm streaming live on Sister Sheila. It's supposed to be on livedeliverance.com in the Facebook. This is why I will be posting simultaneously when I'm teaching in the Facebook. I will always be on air on our main radio station. And you can get us at www.livedeliverance.com. We are an independent internet radio station. We have no rules and regulations like Facebook and YouTube. I have learned to stick with what God has given me, even though these other tools and outlets are good. They're still worldly, and they can bring some problems to you. And I have experienced that since I've been here doing radio here. God has switched the sermon, and we were supposed to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We will, but it's going to be done in a different way because I am seeing a lot of men of God hurt people. There are wounded Christians because of pastors cutting them off for some reason that they may not like. And a lot of pastors do that. These are human beings. And God moved in my heart to give this teaching out because too many of us look up to these so-called men of God. Ain't no real man of God to me but Jesus of Nazareth. I don't care who you are on earth. You use the bathroom the same way I use the bathroom. You wake up by grace the same way I wake up by grace. And it's too much emphasis on these so-called apostles with a lot of anointing too. But yet evil in their hearts. And I'm noticing that these pastors, a lot of them, they'll cut everybody off and just their immediate wife, family, and children, and that's it. That isn't in the Bible. What about if your child's not saved? What you going to do, put him on salary, on staff? That's nepotism. That's not God. God didn't tell us that a true family. Jesus says, those who do the will of my mother and father is my brother and sister. Mary was standing and was desiring to not speak to Jesus, and they said, your mama out here, mad at you. He said, who's my mother and who's my father? And he turned to his disciples, Matthew 12:46-47. He turned to his disciples and said, for whosoever should do the will of my father is the same. Let's read it. Let me just read this to you because you got a lot of pastors that are doing a lot of damage to people and they don't even recognize it. They don't listen to nobody else. You can't, I got somebody over me. Yeah, right. And while yet he talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without desiring to speak with him. Matthew 12:46-47. Then one said to him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Some of these pastors need to know that. Got cliques with the son and he ain't even saved. And you know, you treating him like he's royalty. See, that's favoritism. See, that's sin. That's error. But don't nobody say nothing about it. I'm going to speak against it because I'm going to speak what the Spirit of God tells me. You people, stop looking up under these people. Respect the pastor, but still, he's human. He ain't the Pope. But he answered and said to them, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and says, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. And there are a lot of pastors with anointing. You got a lot of men of God with anointing, but a lot of deceit in their heart, greed in their heart, filthy lucre sake, money. See, the church is cliquish. Let me tell you how it operates. I'm going to expose them. I'm going to expose them. Say, I don't need to go to their church. I'm at my church right here at www.livedeliverance.com, controlled by the Holy Ghost, not moved by the people. We have a lot of people that listen to us. I'm not moved by numbers. You got anointed people that's moved by numbers. How many people in the church? That church is 2,000 to 3,000. All of a sudden, they got 50 in there. Something ain't right. And but the pastor can't see it, or he don't want to see it. I'm going to expose that this is everywhere. This is going on everywhere, all over the world. Deception with so-called men of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Lord, let this teaching open up the ears of the hearer so they cannot be deceived by pastors, false apostles, deceitful workers, even those who are anointed but yet have deception in their heart toward filthy lucre or money. Lord, we ask that you protect your sheep by the word of God and allow this teaching to illuminate their spirit so that they will not be hurt by wolves and sheepskin. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to start off with the man of God out of 1 Kings 13. And the reason why I'm saying this is because there are many people who are hurting. I know of people. People call me. The things that pastors will do to people in the business side of the church is pitiful. It's gangster. It's cold-blooded. Then you warm up, try to get close to him and get next to him, and he'll give you a position, and, you know, you buttering up to him for position. Instead of serving Christ, you're serving man. And that's what a lot of you doctors in the room that's listening to me, some of you are listening to me, you know, you're really not called to serve God. You call because of money and greed. You don't have no anointing, no spiritual gift, but yet you say you're a man of God. And there are men of God that have anointing and still have iniquity in their heart. They may have hurt a church member. Well, who's going to tell them if they hurt, if they don't listen to it? They know what they're doing to people. People been with ministries 50, 60 years. All of a sudden, they cut them loose. Let them go. Like sheep. Don't even try to help them. Just goodbye. That's not God. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. But see, the church is operating on a money basis. See, this plague was supposed to wake people up and make people really change. God shut the churches down with this plague. And he needed to, because they wasn't teaching nothing. Most of them don't teach nothing. And most people are attracted to a doctrine that does not convict you from your sin or bring you closer to the Lord or give you a revelation of his word through the Spirit of God is a central way of living for God. But the devil is very, very deceptive, and he can use anointed vessels to hurt people. What about the staff members who've been hurt by pastors? See, I've been behind the doors. I never saw Pastor Wayne Thompson do any of these things. But I'm hearing this all over the world. A brother from Canada called me, and he'd been with the pastor 27 years. Pastor wants to, you know, do his own thing, I guess, and start being evangelists and leave them. Leave the people stranded and not try to pay them. Some of these pastors, you got all these committees in churches and cleanup committees. Then people got to get they got to drive there, pay them something. They're workers. A worker is not worthy of his hire. So just because you see the person as a man of God, even with anointing, doesn't mean nothing because you don't know the heart. So I'm saying this in order for you to protect yourself with pastors and people who are in position of authority, not saying to look to disrespect them, but to protect yourself from their deception within their heart. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jehoshaphat stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Joshua by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places the burnt incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign of the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and all the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out, and put forth against him dried up so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the signs which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Pay close attention to this. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored unto him again, and became as it was before. So we see here the man of God having signs of healing. Now I want you to hold on to this in 1 Kings 13. Hold on to 1 Kings 13 because we're going to come back to it. But please go with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 22. And many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. That's anointing people. They're going to hell too because something in their heart, mostly lust, pride, money, ego, power, leviathan. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye the workers of iniquity. Now that's very, very deep. Very, very deep. Very, very deep. These words of Christ make it unmistakably clear that preachers may proclaim the gospel in the name of Jesus, drive out demons, and perform miracles, while they themselves have no genuine saving faith in Christ. Scriptures teach that fervent gospel preaching and apparent zeal for righteousness and the working of miracles can be performed in the age under the influence of the powers of Satan. Paul warns that Satan himself is transferred into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Paul make it clear that miraculous, powerful, and signs can be the working of Satan also. God sometimes overrides Satan's activity in false preachers in order to bring salvation or healing to those who sincerely respond to the word of God. It is always God's desire that those who proclaim the gospel be righteous. Yet, when an evil or an immoral person preaches God's word, God can still work in the hearts of those who receive his word with commitment to Christ. God does not endorse any unrighteous preacher of the gospel, but he endorses biblical truth and those who accept it in faith. Now turn to Matthew 12. It's a scripture. That Jesus tells them to don't do what they do, but do what the Bible, do what they say. I got to find it. Where is in the scriptures that Jesus says, do what they say, but don't do what they live? In the Bible, Jesus says, do what they say, but don't do what they live. It's something like that. And I don't have it right here. The Lord bring it to my spirit. He'll bring it to my spirit. Wait a minute. 9:10, the Pharisees, and it came to, here it is, thank you, Jesus. John 11, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see. Now, if you can do that, You have to also be humble, because when you get an anointing, you have to be very careful that pride doesn't come into you. I go back to 1 Corinthians, because let me tell you something. When you're anointed, you're going to have more problems. There's a consequences that come with an anointing. So you can have a person casting out demons, and the Bible just said, you know, there may be some stuff that God's not pleased with, but God still wants the word to be taught through that unrighteous vessel, because the word is true. And that's amazing. So you don't know the heart of a person. This is why we have to stop looking up to these people. Now, here this man of God bringing forth healing. Now, go back to 1 Kings 13, verse 7. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thy house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink, rather in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. And so he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwell an old prophet of Balaam, and his son came and told him all the works that the man of God had done, that in Bethel, in the words which he had spoken unto the king, that they told also of their father. And their father said unto them, what sayest, what he? For he said, he seeth, what is the man of God which came from Judah? And he said, his son said, saddle my ass. So they saddled him in the ass and rode therefore, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. He said that twice. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou comest. So what he's saying is, I'm obeying the word. Watch this now. This is an anointed man of God. This happens to people every day. This is what is in the Bible. And he said, so he went back with him. Now, wait a minute. In verse 18, 1 Kings 13, 18, he said unto him, I am a prophet also, and thou art, and an angel spoken to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee in thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank the water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, 1 Kings 13, 20, and it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept thy commandments, which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but comest back, and has eat bread and drink water in the place of that which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come unto the sculptures of thy father. And it came to pass, after he had ate the bread and after he had drank, that he saddled for him the ass to wait for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. You see, there's a price for men of God, and there's going to be a lot of prices for pastors who hurt people, running after money, cutting staff, trying to get all the money for yourself. It's messed up. I got one here off my radio station out of Jamaica. I got Greater Works off. God bless them, but that just don't make no sense. sacrificial offerings and putting pressure on people, making people get in line to tithe the over amount above the normal that you know you can't tithe. Teaching Mark chapter 4 inaccurate. Talk about this is how you plant a seed. You just pay your tithes and offerings. That's all you're required to do. You don't have to pay money. Jesus got riches. Why you got to pay him money when he got riches? See, that doesn't make no sense. So this is why people are getting caught up in the wrong thing in the church, because you're looking at the wrong thing. The man of God ain't no man of God. God got riches. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Romans 10:12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Hey, God, what is this prosperity thing running around? And then you got pastors that's anointed in the ministry of prophetic, that's doing people like a dog, prophesying with anointing, hurting folks, getting money, taking it, giving it to their family, they cloak. Then you got cliques pastors. Oh, you come to this church, and then I'll tell you to come over here, and then 8 months from now, I'll get Dr. Walton to fly in from Florida for a revival. It's always something going on. And you get excited, and you may get a word or two in there because the word flows. Jesus says, do as they do, but not as they say. Jesus says, do what they do, but not as they say. I think I got it. There you go. Matthew 23. I got it. Holy Ghost, thank you. Thank you, Matthew chapter 23. Lord, you are so good tonight. You're always with me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew 23. That was just sizzling in my spirit. Then spoke Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now watch this now. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. So whatever they teach, he said, observe. That observe and do, but do not after the works, do not after their works, for they say and do not. And you got people that's anointed hurting folks. That's right. Prophesying, hurting folks. Where is it in the Bible that, well, you got to do everything in decency and in order. When you come to the church, you need to come see me before you leave. Come see me. Want to find out what kind of job, what kind of tithes I'm losing. That's all they see. They just see you as a number. They don't care nothing about you. They don't care nothing about you. You got to get in line, fill out a form, call the pastor. I try to respond to a lot of my people, but I'm very busy and dealing with other things that's pulling my time away from my normal communication hours with the people who are with me. But why am I saying this? It's because this is why we need the spiritual gifts, so that we can't be deceived by people. Because if you got the spiritual gift, God will show you what you're dealing with. We was dealing with prophecy, and we're going to move into distinguishing of spirits. I wanted to show you that in 1 Kings 13 because the so-called man of God got in some trouble. But men of God can be like that today. That's why God put that in the Bible. Don't look under no man. I don't care if he pastor, prophet. I don't care about that. Respect the position, like in the military. Respect the rank. Whether you like the person or not, respect the rank. Respect the lieutenant. Respect the sergeant. Respect the pastor. But don't get the pastor into you and him where he's controlling you and he's your Jesus. You know, people call me and tell me, well, I got to see what the pastor tell me or who I can marry. Well, I'm going to do a teaching on dating because people really need to understand when you are dating somebody, you may be unequally yoked with them even if they're saved. Why is that? You may be more advanced in the Lord. They may be down here, and the devil's going to use that because you're going to be trying to train them while they're emotional and while all this stuff going on. So you have to have a balance in a relationship. And the Lord's going to show that. He's teaching that to me to give out to others so that they won't be deceived by the enemy because of lack of knowledge. These gifts that God gives us are protective gifts from deception of anybody, including pastors and demons and false doctrines. We need these gifts severely. Even when dating, you need the gift of discerning the Holy Spirit. When somebody talking, listen to how they talk. Listen to how they react to discipline. You have to be careful with anybody that you deal with because we are not wrestling with people. We're not wrestling with human beings. Anytime you think it's the person, the devil has tricked you. The Lord told that to me last night. He said, every time a person thinks it's the person, the devil just won because they can't see the enemy. The Word of God says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities in high heavenly places. Therefore, this gift here is one of my favorite gift, and I use this gift a lot, is distinguishes between spirits. This gift is a special spirit-filled ability to properly discern evil spirits and to distinguish whether or not an utterance is from the Holy Spirit. See 1 Corinthians 14:29. Toward the end of the age when false teachers arise, according to Matthew 24:5, this spirit of error and deceiving spirits will greatly increase, and I'm seeing that now. The gifts will be extremely important for the church in the last days. And the church is the body of Christ. You need these gifts. I see straight through Jesse the Planets. He don't have no anointing. I see straight through T.D. Jakes. See straight through him. I see straight through Joel Osteen. There's no anointing there. None. And I have a right of freedom of speech. He don't have no anointing. Great articulation of speech. Even Hitler, with no degree, was a great speaker. We need to see the power operating with the character of the pastor also. We forget the character. Anytime a pastor get on TV and say, I have found no problems coexisting with homosexuals, and you say you're a Christian pastor, and the Bible speaks against the homosexuality, this is where we at in the times now. So we need all the gifts we can handle. Amen. Speaking in different kinds of tongues, concerning tongues, galeas, meaning a supernatural manifestation of the spirit that follows, must be noted by interpretation. Tongues may be an existing spoken language, Acts chapter 2, 4 through 6, or a language unknown, tongues, must be interpreted in the church. You must interpret it. Now, if you're speaking at home by yourself, building up yourself on your most holy faith, y'all don't do that. The Lord said to me, y'all don't speak in tongues. Y'all don't pray in the Holy Spirit. All y'all do is complain about demons. Y'all need to, God says he's sick of hearing y'all praying to him, talking about, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, when he has given you the power and authority to speak against spirits. The Bible says, pray ye in the Holy Ghost. But when the pastor calls, you pick up the phone, you don't even test the spirit. Yes, pastor, how can I help you? Why is this? Because the devil wants to destroy you and him, and he's doing it in a clever way. If that pastor's not humble, he's going to take a bite of that pride and get used to that lifestyle and get used to the popularity and being left God and talking a lot, but you'll see a change in the anointing. So you can tell a pastor when he's drifting. When that money get him, you don't see that, you don't hear that anointing no more. You just hear him talking nice, really living off the past of the revelation that God gave him and bringing tits and dung now, because money is fat. That's why God don't want you to be rich. Get too comfortable. Won't read the word no more. Go tell somebody, make an appointment and see who it is. If it's a professor for Yale University, let them come into my office. If it's a janitor, keep them outside and let the lower class pastors who's in training deal with them. That's how they deal with y'all. But these gifts can help you. Speaking in tongues involve the human spirit and the spirit of God intermingling so that the believers can communicate directly to God in prayer, praise, blessings, and thanksgiving. Give an expression or utterance at the levels of the spirit rather than the mind. You can't deal with speaking in tongues in the mind. This is why people have problems speaking in tongues. Even if they got the gift, they can't speak a long time because their mind and their soul and their emotions control their spirit. That's why you can't do it. You got it, but you can't do it. Can't go over 3 hours. Tongues in the congregation must be accomplished by the Spirit-given interpretation, their communication, the content, and the meaning of the utterance of the coming of the community for the believers. 1 Corinthians 14:3, 27-28. It may contain a revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or teaching for the assembly of the believer. We don't even have that in churches. Speaking in tongues within the congregation must request the speaker may never be in out of control, but always in the spirit. Interpretation of tongues, this is a spirit gift ability, understanding and communicating the meaning of the utterance spoken in tongues when interpretation of the congregation is together for the functioning, the direction, and the worship of the prophetic word to inspire, give hope, response, to confirm a confirmation, or anything that God may wish to deliver by tongues being interpreted. Now, there are ministry leading gifts for the church. We're going to deal with that Tuesday. In Ephesians 4:11 lists the ascension of the gifts of Christ in Ephesians 4:8 and 10 as being those gifted spiritual leaders whom Christ has given to his church to subsequently use on earth. Paul stated that Christ gave these gifts for preparing God's people for the work of service, Ephesians 4:12, for spiritual growth for the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:13-16. The title apostle is applied to certain leaders in the New Testament. The noun apostle, delivered from the verb apostatheos, to sent, generally refers to individuals specifically called, commissioned, and given authority by the Lord Jesus Christ by representation in proclaiming the gospel and establishing the church. The title is used of Jesus himself, the disciples, Paul, others. Apostolic apostle leadership is a unique sense. The term apostle is used in very special scenes to identify those qualified to bear spirit-inspired witness to the believer. There are also apostolic anointings that the Lord gives to each individual concerning the will of the Spirit to that man. Some may get a strong apostolic calling to preach. Some may get a strong apostolic calling to cast out demons. Some may get a strong apostolic calling to cast out demons, to preach the gospel, and to heal. It's according to the gifts that God needs to give that man and where his heart at with God. So we're going to look into that apostolic in general sense tomorrow, helpful directions and terminology concerning where the church need these gifts in operation so people can see that God is alive and working. But if they can't see that God is alive and working, it's just words out the Bible. You know? And it's sad. It is very, very sad that we don't know the positions in the Bible that God gave us, like the pastoral position. And I'm going to teach that because people don't realize it. People just go into church and they get into a teaching mode and the music or something attracts them. But these churches don't have no revelation. How can you go to a church and they're not casting out demons? Can anyone tell me out there, how can you do that? He ain't casting no demon. Ain't no prophetic word coming out. There's no hope for you. There's no word of knowledge. He can't lay hands on you. He can just get up and tell you to get ready for the doxology and speak very equivalent. I'm very elated to be here in Mount Basil Baptist Church. Good evening. My name is Dr. Leroy McDaniels to greet today. Please turn to your Bibles to the book of Mark, St. Mark the Divine, chapter 9, verse 8. And, you know, it just becomes entertainment without the Spirit of God. Without these gifts, it's just a church. And even with the gifts, if that pastor's heart not right and that money done caught him and got him all caught up, he'll lose his anointing. Listen to me. God is serious about his word. Don't follow people. Follow his word. Take the time out to get these nine gifts so that you don't be deceived, because let me tell you something, it's game out here in the church. It's a big business. Juanita Bynum is not no evangelist to me. I don't recognize her. She ain't no, she's an entertainer. I don't recognize none of them fools on TV. And they're packed and don't teach nothing. No deliverance, no word of knowledge, just entertain. Now, if you like to be entertained, keep listening to it. But if you want the revelation of Jesus, and if you want these gifts, you can call on him. He can give it to you. We need to know that prophets in the New Testament were those who are gifted spiritual leaders who were uniquely gifted in receiving communication directly revelation from God by the Holy Spirit. One of the main concerns was spiritual life and purity of the church under the New Covenant. They was raised up and empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring a message from God to his people. Acts 2:12, Acts 4:8, and Acts 21, verse 4. If that prophetic message is not in the church, how can one have hope? How can one believe in God when they can't even get a message or a word from God? Because that vessel on that pulpit that you pick and call your pastor, that don't believe in speaking in tongues, that don't believe in casting out demons, or that do all that and still in his heart love that money, where he'll cut you off and cut you off like a snake. It's still the same thing as this is in the back door. Look, evil can attack anybody. You just make sure you're not the one that's going to be allowing this. Old Testament prophecies are a foundation for understanding the prophetic ministry in the early church. Their primary task was to speak the word of God by the Spirit in order to encourage God's people to remain faithful to their covenant relationship. They also at times predicted the future of spiritual revival in the time. The prophets in the Old Testament, Christ as the apostle, serve as an example of the New Testament. We got Jesus. Prophetic functions within the New Testament church is the following ways. They were spirit proclaimed by the word of God, called by God to warn, exhort, comfort, and edify. Acts 2:14 through 36, Acts 3:12 through 26, 1 Corinthians 12:10, 1 Corinthians 14:3. They were to exercise the gifts of prophecy, to comfort, to give information, to proclaim righteousness, to give a word of comfort, but not to do any harm to those who are receiving the prophetic word by filthy lucre or money. God don't want you doing that. You got to be careful there. They're false prophet. I had a false prophet coming, Drew. His name was Prophet Drew, and he ain't nothing but a false. I'll call him out. I'll call y'all out. Y'all can't stop me. I'm teaching the truth, and if God is for me, who can be against me? He gets on the phone and called me, and I see you with a building, and I just moved out of a building. And you need to receive this right now. I said, no, the Bible tells me to test the spirit. The Bible tells me out the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, according to 2 Corinthians 13:1. I don't think so. He told me 8 months. I said, I'll call you back. I know it wasn't God because I just moved out of a building, and the Lord told me you're going to need this $900 a month to run the radio station. And it takes $1,300 every month to run this radio station. So I know that God wouldn't put me in a building. I can teach anywhere in the world with my computer and keep my radio station running. I love my ministry. I ain't got no clicks. I ain't have to worry about, you know, people competing because we have a small staff. It's a blessing. Sister Durden been with me 18 years. Snuggle been with me 12 years. Steve Lee been with me 40 years. Brother John is a friend. He's handles with me, assists me, helped me out 15, 16, 17 years. Ruth had been with me 17 years. And we are loving people. And I love to get the gospel out. I just don't want to see anybody be deceived by these preachers. And it's really getting sickening to me. Y'all got to stop looking at under these men. These men are, you can't trust no man. I don't care who they are. I ain't never trust no human being. I don't care if you're the Pope. You ain't Jesus. And you're liable for a mistake, including me. God bless you. Don't forget to sow a seed here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Please sow a seed. The Holy Spirit moved the sermon around a little bit, but I had to obey him. Go to www.livedeliverance.com and listen to our sermons. We are beefing up our radio station. We are really trying to get off every other platform but one. www.livedeliverance.com. We appreciate Facebook has been very nice to us, very generous to us, and we've been with Facebook 18 years. And we will be back on air. The Lord told me we'll be back on air probably by December in YouTube. We will be back on air. The Lord told me that I will be back on air. Now, we want to take this opportunity to come and pray for the people in Ukraine. Lord, we ask for weaponry spiritually against this evil forces of darkness that's coming against these people. Father, Lord, we come up against these demonic forces of death, Magog, pride, Antichrist, Soviet Union philosophy. We come up against the demonic spirits in Putin. Father, we ask that they get their needs met in Ukraine. We ask that this war be stopped. We ask that you turn the Russians against each other and bring confusion and bring civil war within them. We speak confusion over them in the name of Jesus. We ask that they logistics constantly be torn down, Lord. We ask in the holy name of Jesus to defend the Ukrainian people from this evil country that represents nothing but darkness and Satan. There is no country on earth more wicked than the Soviet Union. And I rebuke Russia in the name of Jesus for these atrocities for these Ukrainian people. Lord, please help them. Send in military aid so they can fight. According to Jeremiah 4:14, they can fight for their families and their loved ones. Lord, protect them spiritually from the onslaught of the spirit of evil. We send the spirit of death back to the Russian soldiers. I speak death to the Russian soldier. I speak death to the Russian soldier. I speak death on you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke your evil demonic mind in the name of Jesus. I speak confusion to the Russian soldiers. They be confused. I speak for rain, for delay, for logistic problem. Lord, bring in zones for the people of Ukraine, Lord Jesus. Bring in heavy artillery, Lord. Lord, please help the Ukrainian people. I'm crying out to you, Lord. Lord, we need you for these people in the name of Jesus. Stop this evil. Lord, we are your children. We humble ourselves. If my people who are called by name will humble themselves, you will hear our prayer. Lord, we humble ourselves according to 2 Chronicles 7:14 and hear the prayer of us praying for you to help the Ukrainian people keep their sovereignty and not be controlled by Russia. We ask that these forces be moved back now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Don't forget to sow a seed here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Go to www.livedeliverance.com. On the lower left-hand side, you have the PayPal site. Please help us. We have a lot of legal fees. God bless you. Don't be following no preacher. I don't care how anointed he is. He's still human. You saw about the man of God in 1 Kings 13. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Follow Christ. Respect the preacher, but he ain't Jesus. Stand by. Those of you on Live Deliverance Internet, welcome back. We're going to go back to Apartments of Hell. God bless. All right, we're going to open up our lines now to Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Thank you, Brother Paul. Brother Paul, if you're in this room, could you please tell me, did you see anything in Blog Talk? Did you see anything in Blog Talk? Was the Blog Talk on? Was the Facebook on? Was the Facebook on? Okay, let's open up and here let me know to Chaplain John Durden. You now have the mic.
Amen, brother. Enjoyed
it. Man. Go ahead.
I really enjoyed it, and especially when you come and talk about the different gifts and what they help us to do to be effective ministers, and I'm looking forward to more of that. I've been reading it and stuff like that, and I enjoy it, and I just can't wait. I'm studying ahead, you know, but when you teach, you're not teaching from your mind. You're teaching from the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that's what I love. Because when we read it, we are interpreting from our mind, you know. And so I look and listen at some of the teaching that you've done, and I go, wow, my mind interpreted that entirely different. And then when I relook at it, I go, my God, that's what it really saying. You know, because I'm looking forward to getting more deep into the some of the gifts like the word of wisdom and knowledge and healing and miracles, you know, and prophecy and discernment.
Dr. Lebo Montgomery says, tongues has ceased. Chaplain Durden, my man. You can't hear me. My man listening.
My man, why are you always interrupting when we be trying to give a presentation or discuss how we feel about a certain thing, and you always jump in and tell me, mine has ceased. Mine has not ceased, sir.
No, he said tongues have ceased. It has ceased.
Tongue has not ceased. You can't find it. You look at 1 Corinthians, okay, chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. It talks about, do you have a couple of minutes for me to share with you?
Give me the scripture. Come straight with the scripture. He said, come straight.
It's 1 Corinthians 13, chapter, verses 8 through 10. And when you look at verse 8, it says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, with regard to those three gifts, one says shall, another one says shall, and another one says shall fail. Well, shall is future tense. It's not past tense. I asked hundreds of guys to prove it. They can't find it. It says shall. That's present tense. Now, let me tell you about prophecy. It says charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. What is prophecy, Brother John? Prophecy is a special gift that enables a believer like us to bring what? A word of revelation directly from God under the impulse of what? Of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from your mind. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of it is to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to comfort us as persons of godly character. That's what it's for. And so God hasn't terminated yet. Again, prophecy, those three gifts he mentioned, is for the purpose of strengthening us when we're ministering to the people, to encourage us, for those who need encouragement, as well as ourselves, comfort a person or groups of people at a particular time. Now, then you come to tongues. It's, you know, I say, tongues, they shall cease. Well, let me tell you about tongues. Tongues involves what? The human spirit intermingling and praying for ourselves. And then sometimes when you speak in tongues, you're not only praying for yourself, but you're delivering a message to someone, maybe in the church, at the hospital you're visiting. That's what it's for. And then when you don't know what to pray, and I want to pray for a loved one, a family member who is sick, and somebody in the hospital that I know but don't know his particular expertise or situation he's in, then I say, Holy Spirit, you know that person. You know what's happening. So I would pray in tongues. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ and that you would intercede for me. And then I go, Shekati na kataparasa. Kalayani kataporiyane kishiyama. No. Katapari kisini kitapalo soko la katapariyani. Shekitiyane katapala ko si ichi ikiyante. Like that. So I say, tongues involves what? The human spirit doing what? Angle mingling, praying for ourselves, others. That's when we can do that. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit will take over and have you to pray for others, which excludes your human mind. Then you have the third one, the one that's knowledge, okay? Knowledge, prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. Now, what's the purpose of knowledge? There'd be tongues being used for that, too. See, this is an utterance inspired by the Holy Spirit that reveals knowledge about people, give us knowledge about circumstances that we may be in, biblical truth. Sometimes it means this and mean that. And then the gift of knowledge, the Holy Spirit tells you, no, he's out of place. Tell him what it means. Okay, so I come down to purposes. To the purpose of the gift, y'all, to manifest what? The grace, the power, the love of the Holy Spirit among the people in their public gatherings, in their homes, with their families, whatever the individual lives are. Also, the purpose of knowledge is to make the prophecies, teachings of the gospel effective by giving supernatural confirmation to the message. That's what it's for. That's knowledge. The Holy Spirit will explain situation issues that you go in at the time. Then here's the big one. You go to verses 9 and 10. And 9 and 10, for the purpose of that, it says, let's talk about the return of Christ. It says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when? That which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done. So, you know, they said these gifts, knowledge and purpose and so forth, that is temporary until Christ come back. See? So they said, when that which is perfect come, who's perfect? Jesus Christ, not mankind. So let me say that again. But we know in part. That means we don't know the whole gospel and everything else. And we prophesy in part, well, thus says the Lord. The Lord says this, and the Lord says that. You know? That you prophesy, but it's not too much. And then a lot of people try to prophesy, and they prophesy from their mind. But when that which is perfect, still in verses 9 and 10, when that which is perfect is come, and then you know, and Jesus was talking to me, John, who is perfect? You, Lord. Okay. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That's when we won't need all this posture. We don't need all the stuff that we're going on right now. We need prophecy and we need tongues and all that because God still has to communicate with us because mankind still teaching error. Mankind are very limited in their knowledge, see? And then finally, spiritual gifts such as prophecy, tongues, and knowledge will cease at the end of this age. That time is described as when that which is perfect, talking about Jesus, come at the end of history when the believers knowledge, character becomes perfect after Christ's second coming. See, so he don't have to speak us in part tongues. So when we want him to pray for us, you know, we go shikidyanakatapalasuko. But God sometimes wants to speak to the congregation as pastors, teaching whatever. He might have a knowledge for somebody who can't speak English, and so there might be a woman from Japan or England or France or whatever, and she probably want to commit suicide. And Lord said, I want you to speak in tongues. I'll tell you what to say. I'll do it. You say, that's Lord. And then you go, hey, shikiana katapala. Eliana kotaburi shikata. No, okiana. No, no, no. Kala hapina. And you hear somebody screaming all of a sudden back. He says, excuse me? And she said, you was talking to me, Pastor. I didn't know you could speak French. I didn't know you could speak German. And, you know, I was just visiting. And you were telling me not to commit suicide. Blah, blah, blah. I said, praise the Lord. You know. And so the woman come up, and everybody hug and pray for her. So he says that will cease when that the knowledge will cease at the end of this age. That time is described as when that which is perfect and come at the end of history. And that's Jesus. When the believer's knowledge and character becomes perfect after Christ's second coming. So we know the Bible partially, not completely. Some misinterpret scripture and everything else. So if God wants to speak to the congregation, he may say to the pastor, if he in tongues, or aware of what church believe in it, and then the pastor says, stop, hold up. the Lord got me something to say, and he be speaking in tongues, man, and just blessing the congregation, and it meets every one of them. They talk with pastors, that was lovely. You spoke personally to me, and everybody, I mean, you are 20, 15 people. Man, get up, I felt like you were speaking to me, pastor, you know, but he didn't know what he was saying because he didn't have to give an interpretation, but he had to give the tongues, you see. And tongues, sometimes when you want to pray along with the Lord, man, that's powerful. Because sometimes I say, Lord, I'm praying in tongues because I am tired of praying and asking me, saying, Lord, I need more money. Lord, could you bless me? Could you give me a promotion? Lord, I need a better car. Lord, man, you know, always give me, give me, give me, give me. So now I say, Lord, I'm tired of all that. Give me. I'm going to let you pray for me because you know my needs. And I say, thank you, Holy Spirit. And then I go, Shikata, Lakatini, Hisika, Lorobia, Nikiti, Shikiti, Nikotopola, because he knows my weaknesses, he knows my strengths, he knows my desires, and everything else. So I give it over to the Lord to intercede for me when I pray in tongues. And then sometimes God will use tongues to speak to somebody and give the person interpretation, person who he or she addressing it. That's what it's all about, sir. Hello? Hello.
He wants to call you and talk to you. Dr. Simonton says he wants to call you on private line. Dr. Montgomery wants to call you on private line. Leroy Thornton, private line. And Dr. C.C. Silversmith says he wants to call you, Jack Durden, on private line.
Well, that's going to have to be at a different
God
time.
God bless
right?
you.
Because, I mean, your time.
And as soon as I get off the phone, you guys can give us a call. Okay. Y'all have a good night, and God bless.